Seeking mental health care can be overwhelming and even scary, but it doesn't have to be. I'm Dr. Josephine McNary, and I'm committed to making this process easier for you. Each week, my expert guest and I unravel a different form of therapeutic intervention in order to bring comfort and understanding and to help you get back to your true self. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mind Stories. Today, I'm excited to have on as our guest, Susan Zinn. Susan is a licensed psychotherapist in California and New York and maintains a private practice in Santa Monica, California. She is a certified trauma and eating disorder specialist and has a special interest in working with teenagers, young adults, and families, and the particular challenges that they face throughout the various transitions of their lives. In addition to her clinical practice, Susan is an advocate for mental health wellness and writes, consults, and presents on an array of mental health issues. Welcome, Susan. Thank you. Susan Zinn is on our podcast today. She's a psychotherapist in Santa Monica. I'm excited to have her on because she recently wrote an article in Psych Central about how can parents help teach Generation Z teens about living in uncertain times. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Maybe we can start off by talking about your specialty and what kind of brought you to thinking about writing this article.
Sure. So I specialize in working with adolescents and young adults. I'm also a certified trauma and eating disorder specialist. And so given that we are living in uncertain times, and I started to see more and more teens struggling with anxiety, particularly, and trying to kind of manage their feelings and their emotions with not really knowing what was going to happen tomorrow. And I sort of wanted to offer parents an opportunity to kind of think about, hey, how can we sort of help our teens manage their feelings better? What are their opportunities that they can be doing rather than just sitting around and playing TikTok and watching videos? Because we don't really know when they're going to be going back to school and life is going to resume as they were used to prior. So that was really kind of my interest in writing this article, was to help.
Got it. And I'm sure you've seen a lot of teens, maybe teens that you have known for a while, or maybe new teens coming in with kind of increased anxiety during these times. Can you talk a little bit about the trends that you're seeing in your practice?
Sure. Well, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, the prevalence of anxiety disorder is 31.9% of teenagers between the ages of 13 and 18 prior to COVID. And now what I'm really seeing is just that increasing dramatically. More and more parents are calling daily, really concerned about both anxiety and depression for their teenagers, and also just their self-image, their body image, how to be maintaining their relationships and their friendships, because this is really interrupting the normal, healthy teenage development. And parents are struggling with how to sort of help their teens through this time period. So I think that there's a lot of the disruption of eating that's happening. There is a disruption of sleep that's happening. There's a disruption of normal connection and relationships that are happening during this time period. And then also the mood. It's a roller coaster. Teens are saying that they are feeling like sometimes they're feeling grateful for this time that they have downtime. And then other times they're feeling really so anxious and overwhelmed with so much isolation and not really knowing how to connect the way they used to.
Right. Yeah. Their usual coping mechanisms just maybe aren't accessible during this time.
And I think also too, teens that used to be highly motivated and loved school, they're having a hard time to get motivated again and figuring out with so much time on computers of how to kind of manage that. Also social anxiety, of having kind of that hyper focus on Zoom calls or Zoom schools and having to sort of manage that feeling of perfectionism or did I make a mistake? I'm seeing that more and more with teenagers currently too.
Yeah, I would assume it could go either way with social anxiety, right? An individual with social anxiety could be really grateful that they are not kind of out in the world doing things, but kind of bringing Zoom inside the house and into your kind of safe space probably does bring up quite a bit of social anxiety.
Yeah. And I think also when you're thinking about extroverted and introverted teens, I was kind of under the assumption that the introverted teens would say, I'm killing this. This is such a great opportunity for me to be alone and have more downtime. But I do think that so much isolation has been really challenging for a lot of more introverted teenagers. And then the extroverted, the same thing is that they're really missing that contact that they have, that they need and want to be with their friends. And they're sort of struggling with trying to find those balances. So there's so many different obstacles right now for teenagers. And this is all new. We're all navigating and adjusting to this new normal together, not only the teenagers, but their parents and their family members as well.
Right. And you're talking about a new normal, and what the new normal is uncertainty.
Correct. And that's really, how are we managing that in our brains? How are we sort of managing being flexible to not know tomorrow if things are going to resume in some way, or if we're going to have a more prolonged time being in isolation, or certain states having things open up while others are not? So that also brings up the point about media and media consumption for not only parents, but also with teenagers, because the news is there to really inform, but also to keep us hooked and put eyeballs on their screens. And so oftentimes the information that's sensationalized, there's information that's there to sort of sell magazines or newspapers or keep you hooked to watching the television. And it's really important for teenagers to, number one, have some monitoring of what they're watching and who they're watching from their parents, but also too, of maybe thinking about having a buddy or someone to be watching those sources to really kind of talk about what they're experiencing and their feelings that they're experiencing as they're getting more and more information too.
Right. I was just thinking about, in terms of when there's a difference in opinion between teens and what they feel like they should be doing to keep safe versus what parents think. And I'm sure that's quite a bit of a struggle in terms of what type of independence to give your teen.
Yes. And I also think that we have to put the factors in with various illnesses of children having autoimmune diseases or allergies or asthma. Those bring on different stress levels for teenagers as well. Am I going to be safe? Am I going to get sick? And so for them to be managing those feelings too is a lot, let alone their parents. So, you know, what is safe and what is not safe really depends on the teenager. And there's not a answer that fits for all of them.
Right. Yeah. But I was thinking a teenager maybe who doesn't have medical issues and a parent is a little bit more concerned about just kind of overall making sure that you isolate effectively and appropriately, and a teen is wanting to maybe spend time with friends. I mean, it seems like that would be a really hard balance to strike in terms of a compromise.
Without a doubt. I think that especially for teenagers that are wanting that contact of not being able to monitor a 6 feet social distance walk for parents, that brings up a lot of anxiety. But also, I think there's the factor of their family members. And this is what's becoming very stressful for a lot of teenagers, is they're concerned for maybe a parent who's elderly or a grandparent that's elderly or a parent that has had cancer or has autoimmune issues. And so that they are feeling like they have to be extra careful, or a parent that is maybe working on the front lines where they actually have to really be cautious of the germs they're bringing into the home in fear of infecting that parent and bringing it to the hospital where they work. So there's a lot of different factors depending on people's homes right now that are really affecting teenagers and their stress levels as they're going through this.
Right. And I just think about kind of how this is just derailing normal biopsychosocial development in a teen, right? And thinking not only just about time with friends, but kind of how teens kind of explore their sexuality if they had been in starting relationships or kind of starting to explore that part of their lives. I'm sure that's kind of a tricky thing as well.
Without a doubt. And it's been interesting too, because the teenagers that I've been speaking to, some of them that have had boyfriends or girlfriends and they're wanting to social distance, and maybe someone snaps a picture and then they feel like they're too close to that person and they're afraid of what their friends are going to say if they're following the guidelines. And there's all different various issues that I think are coming up around this when it relates to relationships and connecting. It's been really hard. And also too, I think that there's a lot of disruption of sleep because the teenagers are speaking to a boyfriend or girlfriend or someone they're interested late at night in their bedrooms. And so their sleep schedules have been pretty messed up here, spending hours of time, as teenagers do, on the phone, on FaceTime. So that's been another factor that I'm hearing a lot too from teenagers.
And I also think about just the disappointments that teens are dealing with in terms of maybe graduating seniors, missing graduation, missing kind of something that they worked for in terms of just a acknowledgement of the end of some large accomplishment. And so I'm sure that's also been a discussion you've had with older teens.
Particularly with seniors. And also to the thought of not being able to possibly start college in a normal fashion of going away, but maybe having online school again in the fall has been very stressful for them. So there's a lot of loss. There's a lot of grief for them during this time period. And sort of those normal hallmarks of being a senior have been robbed from them. And they're struggling with that. They're trying to, in different ways, find ways to celebrate. There's been various proms online, on Zoom, or they've been trying to figure out video projects that they could do to sort of celebrate an ending together, but it's still not the same. Most of them found out where they were going to college and then they went into quarantine. So there's been this big portion of their lives that they were not able to experience. And there's a lot of sadness about that.
And you think about what the long-term effects of this collective trauma would be, say, on a teen going through this at this time in history. I mean, I think teens and individuals have their own levels of coping and resilience, but have you thought or talked to parents about the long-term effects that this might have?
Yes, without a doubt. And I think that to kind of highlight it even more, the teens that this was their last play or their last season that they had as a high school athlete. They spent a year working on debate and then they missed sort of the championships of that or chess or whatever it may be that they've spent enormous amount of time sort of mastering and working towards these goals. For them to sort of miss these highlights in their lives feels incredibly disappointing. But to your point, teenagers are resilient. And if we help them with coping skills and tools to sort of get over this time and sort of really managing their feelings around this, my hope is that they're going to be healthier, happier, that they're going to have more resilience, they'll have better coping skills. And if you really think about this, that this is sort of also a pre-college setup for them to learn how to be self-motivated, to learn how to be disciplined, to learn how to manage their time, to learn how to manage their feelings and emotions. So this isn't all negative. I think there's an opportunity for teenagers to really have a lot of growth during this time too.
Well, kind of moving into your article that you wrote, this idea of kind of tips for parents and teens in terms of maybe helping them get through this time. Do you want to go over a few of those tips that you recommend?
Sure. I think the biggest thing that parents can do is really help teens with structure. They need to be able to sort of create some normalcy in their lives. And so as I was discussing that, I think a lot of teenagers are up late at night talking to their friends or their boyfriends or girlfriends, and parents really need to help them to stress the importance of creating a routine and having regular eating schedules, exercise, sleeping, times off screens, and really connecting. And so, you know, what I'm hearing with a lot of teenagers is that they're wanting to connect and they don't know how to exactly, they don't know what to say online to their friends because it's not the same as just hanging out. But I think parents can sort of think through those opportunities for kids of maybe they're setting up a game night with their friends, or they're doing a TikTok videos together, or they're doing Netflix party, but finding a way to create a structure and routine that teens are really connecting and not just sort of leaving it up to them. They don't have these skills yet to sort of be managing all of this. And we don't as parents either. This is a really hard time. But having sort of a parent sort of collaborating with their teens and saying, hey, this is going to be the structure that we need to sort of maintain as a family during these uncertain times and living in this uncertain time is really important. Also, having daily practices for teenagers, whether that's something of a hobby or they're into, even just something like walking for 30 minutes if they have a dog, or if they're into running, or they want to stay in shape for soccer practice or their basketball team, whatever it is, but just kind of making sure that there's daily practices of activities that bring them joy and they're things that they love to do. Because we know in the brain that we have to have this sort of 5-to-1 ratio for sort of every negative. We need to have 5 positive things in order to counterbalance the flexibility that is needed in our brains for us to feel okay. And this all sort of helps to decrease anxiety. So really encouraging and talking to your teens about, all right, what are the hobbies that you want to kind of keep practicing? What's the daily practices that you want to be involved in order to keep them active, and finding joy in their lives is really important.
Yeah. I was just kind of also looking through your article that kind of goes into creating competency and connections as well.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I think that's, again, where we can think of this as a strength, of this time as a strength. There's an opportunity for parents to really be teaching them things that are new and sort of checking off that parents' to-do list of, I know my children know how to do this before they go off to college or they are living on their own. And so there's been so much interest in cooking, you know, whether it be Gordon Ramsay or Matthew Kenny or Amy Schumer even has a new show out on Food Network, that teens are really interested in learning life skills. And so there's a lot of focus around that. And so even as a family, of how you're connecting and teaching them recipes, maybe that's about your family recipes, kind of bringing in sort of their identity and exploring sort of their family history, or it's just about competency, that they're actually learning how to do a life skill. But that can be so many different things. I'm hearing kids that are working on woodworking projects, or they're helping around the house, maybe with rebuilding in some capacity, or their parents are teaching them these life skills. And that's making them feel more confident, more capable, and bringing more agency, that they have control when there's so much uncertainty around too, that they know how to do things and they can take care of themselves.
Right. And then I'm just looking, these are great suggestions. Improve critical thinking skills by distinguishing fact from fiction.
Yes. I mean, that's what we were talking a little bit about, the news. And so it's difficult for them to kind of know what's the difference between accurate information and not. And so with parents' guidance, teens can really be supported in sort of understanding what's a credible source and what's not. I'm finding just having CNN all day is pretty disruptive for a lot of teenagers because they feel like they're bombarded with information, but maybe they're just watching Jessica Yellen's Instagram clips, which is just a few minutes, to get kind of the critical information of what's going on in the news. Maybe that's what you're working with your parents, or that they're going to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention to kind of know what's the latest and the newest information, but that may be only every couple of days. But I think it's just really overall having them think, is this information accurate? Does it make sense? What kind of source is it coming from? And helping them sort of those critical thinking skills as they're distinguishing what is actually true or not within media right now, which is really confusing and hard, but it's actually a great lesson for parents to be teaching teens right now. And I think also that they're growing up in this technology era, that they look at Twitter, and oftentimes just because it's on a social media platform, they assume that it's true. Mm-hmm. So this is really a moment for them to learn that skill.
Yeah, it seems like kind of a moment in time for parents of teens to be impactful in their teaching in a way that maybe wasn't possible when their kids were not with them so much, maybe.
Yeah, and that's what I'm hearing from a lot of parents, that this is maybe the only time and the last time that they will all be together as a family unit and really enjoying that and what that's looking like, and really teaching teens these life skills of importance, because it's probably likely that their parents have been through things before and they've learned how to cope and how to get through trauma or be more resilient in their lives. And this is a moment that a teenager will never forget. This is going to be impacted by all of them around the world. So this is a great opportunity for previous generations to really support teenagers and help them to learn how to find purpose after a trauma, or to be more resilient and learn how to cope, is really important too.
Right. As I'm looking through this article, I think that this is relevant not just to teens, but to any adult, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I think there are differences between teens and adults in terms of how you're thinking about this article too.
For sure. And I think that for teenagers, it's really important for them to find purpose right now too. And also to find, as I said, again, to find joy. So how are they laughing? How are they finding hobbies? I'm hearing a lot of kids mixing music. I'm loving Laugh Factory has a live Instagram feed right now, just keeping us all laughing. But there are other things that they can be doing too, that they feel purposeful. I just was actually on a teen health panel with 100 teenagers that two teenagers put together. And they felt like the collaboration of helping other people felt very important to them. And that helped them sort of manage their feelings around this time too. Mm-hmm. But there's other ways they can do that. Fostering animals, they can be tutoring underserved students like through Teens Give or Up Achieve, or they can donate blood if they're over 16. There's definitely a need for blood. They can support even small businesses from their local bookstores, or maybe they're starting an Instagram for a nonprofit, or they're helping elderly with social media, or they're looking at the volunteer list from Volunteer Worldwide Online, too, has so many services and ways for teens to be involved. There's a lot of opportunities right now for teens to feel impactful. There's teens raising money for protective gear around the country. I mean, they're really doing amazing things. And I think that's a beautiful opportunity for parents to really teach them that they can have an impact and they can do a lot, even if we're sort of stuck at home.
Right. And it kind of takes away that feeling of helplessness.
100%. And creates really that agency and again, that competency that, hey, I can do this and I'm capable, which is really, really important.
Right. And that creativity, you're going to have to figure out ways that are creative to really make an impact. And that in itself is a lasting, important lesson.
Right. I mean, I think that we talk about this generation being really overscheduled and all of a sudden they're not. And also, we don't even know if all sports are going to be returning. So how are they spending their time? How are they getting bored? And then figuring out ways to entertain themselves or to create opportunities or to manage their time or to be motivated. All of these things are really going to help teenagers with their mental health and their resiliency. And this generation just had such high rates of anxiety that I'm hopeful that maybe this is actually going to be really helping them in the future.
What are some approaches you use with teens that you see in your practice talking about high levels of anxiety due to this situation?
I think that one of the best things with teenagers is, number one, is always telling them the truth. And I think we have to be really honest with ourselves of not trying to sugarcoat things, not trying to hide things, not try to pretend, because in the long run, they're going to feel lied to. And so I think it's really important to come from that level of transparency and to sit down and really talk to them about their feelings around what they're understanding, what they're hearing, what they're knowing. But then also from my perspective is my goal and a lot of mental health professionals' goal is really to educate them about their body and their brain. And so the more that they can understand about their neurobiology and the way that their brains and their bodies work together, they can actually know that they can have the control and agency in order to sort of manage those feelings. They don't have to get swept up and sort of getting hijacked by their amygdala of what's not actually going to impact them or affect them and what's the difference between reality and fiction. So they feel really empowered when they know that they can do that. And there's various tools for them to go, hey, I don't have to get kind of swept up with that feeling. There's things that I can do in order to manage those emotions.
Yeah, I bet that would be really helpful during times like this.
For sure. And for every teenager, there's a different prescription for what works for them. Some, you know, it's blasting music and feeling like just kind of breathing through the music is really helpful. Other of them, it's sort of finding purpose and meaning and connections and making an impact. Some of them, other, it's just connecting with friends or being with family or. And I think it's really just kind of understanding what each individual needs and wants in order to soothe those emotions, these big feelings, these roller coaster emotions that they're having around this time period.
What about parents who are just so dysregulated themselves because of all this? I mean, how can they approach parenting or tips for them to approach parenting when they themselves are struggling?
I think that's such a great point because the fact is that if a parent is dysregulated, they're most likely the teens are going to be struggling too because they're either worrying about their parents' mental health or they're being impacted by it. If a parent's really anxious or depressed, a teen is going to feel that. And so it's really important for parents to, number one, is to get their own support. If they're feeling like these feelings are going on for more than 2 weeks, they really need to reach out to their practitioner and find a mental health practitioner for them to talk to, or contact their doctors, or there's so many hotlines out there where people can really, and free resources that they can really get the support they need, because it just makes everything more challenging if a parent can't actually manage their feelings and emotions. And there's so many people that have lost their jobs or their relationships are pretty toxic right now, making it difficult to live under one roof or worrying about elderly parents. There's so many factors that are going on that make it really challenging for everyone at this point. And I think we've got to get away from the stigma of getting support and mental health support. It makes you weak or that there must be something really wrong with you. And just knowing that that actually is the most powerful and compelling thing that you can be doing is saying, hey, I need to take care of myself in order to take care of my children. And it's kind of like that oxygen mask analogy on the airports is I've got to put mine on before that I can actually put on the person next to me in order to make sure that my whole family system is working.
Well, this has been really incredibly helpful as a parent myself too, but I think as just kind of in general for parents everywhere and kind of also thinking about just self-care for every individual or people that you care about during these times. Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you think would be really helpful for the listener to hear?
I think that really the biggest issue is just a lot of students are struggling with how to manage their schoolwork at this point. And I want them to not feel alone because students that did really well or were anticipating the last quarter would really sort of help them with their grades. I think it's important for students to find ways to break up the work that they have to do into sort of smaller timeframes. Whatever the goal is, can we kind of do things over a time period? And can we also change the environment so that we don't feel so overstressed? And that allows our brain to kind of refocus, because I think that's probably one of the biggest factors that teens, all teens, are really struggling with right now is how to get the work done, how to complete assignments, how to stay motivated, how to stay productive when there isn't the structure of going to school. And also too, just about contact with their teachers, how to do all of that. So just, it's a little small thing, but moving from not doing your work in your bedroom to maybe going outside, or if it's cold, then finding a different place for you to actually to get your work done is super important. And also just letting your teachers know that if you can't do the work, is there a way for them to support you? Or maybe the work isn't that important towards your grade and you can really have that conversation with your dean or your principal as well too.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate your time and that you've started writing about this. And, you know, I think it's a great resource for so many families. And I know you have a lot more projects you're working on to really kind of get out there and spread word about support and suggestions to really help teens through this time. I will make sure that your website is up on the description so people can learn a little bit more about your work as well as some of the other articles and resources that you have contributed to. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And also just about spreading this word and having this conversation, which I think is going to be needed for a long time.
I agree.
Talking about mental health and anxiety with teenagers. So thank you again.
Well, thanks for all the important work you do. Take care. This has been Mind Stories. With remote appointments in California and offices in downtown Los Angeles, Santa Monica, Hermosa Beach, Marina Del Rey, and Echo Park, Cal Psychiatry specializes in medication management, mood and anxiety disorders, alternative therapies, women's mental health, and more to help you get back to your true self. Visit us at calpsychiatry.com. Thank you for listening to Mind Stories, and don't forget to subscribe.